You are listening to the voice of the frontline protector here at the Private Officer Beat Radio. Every week, you'll hear breaking news, topics of training, information for the industry of security, public safety, and law enforcement. So strap in, hang on, we're about to speed off in this episode of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. That's right, we're on the air on this 27th day of December, closing out the year here in 2021. Nope, didn't take that two-week vacation like many companies did. We're all at work here at the POI office. But Happy New Year's ahead of time. And we hope that everyone enjoyed and had a great Christmas, spent a lot of quality time with family and friends, and of course, that Santa treated each and every one of you very good. We have a lot of things happening here at the end of the year, and of course, we wouldn't want to miss an opportunity to go over what's happening and get some of the news out. Today, we're going to be talking quite a bit, actually, about a couple of court cases, recent court cases, and the disparity of force. Keep that topic in mind, disparity of force. As you know, we're here in the last week of the old year, 2021, and we're quickly rolling into 2022. And here at Private Officer International and Armor College, we are ecstatic. We have a lot to do this last week, but we have a lot to look forward to in 2022. We're going to be talking about that in this week and in next week's radio program, all that you can be expecting coming out from our organizations. I really want to ask each and every one of you to think about your New Year's resolutions and, you know, while you're doing that you kind of think about how you can become more involved with POI and Armor and the community of private security and public safety. There's a lot of things, a lot of areas that you can really make a difference. You just have to take the first step forward and put forth a little bit of effort. We're going to be talking today about some of those ways and, of course, next week and for the rest of next year and probably throughout the course of our radio program. If it goes another 10 years, we'll probably still be talking about it then. I do want to get to a couple of questions that was asked recently in an email. A listener wanted to, and we do get these emails from time to time, feel free to send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Ask anything about the radio show, the organization, whatever is on your mind. Here in this email, Charlie wrote, "I have a couple of questions about the radio show. I love the program and listen to it faithfully and have for the last 3 or 4 years. But I have a couple of questions as to how do you come up with all of these topics that you often talk about, the things that you talk about in the, that's in the news, as well as your training items?" Well, Charlie, we think about things and we plan the radio program. In fact, today's radio program, we had to do quite a bit of research for our topic that we're going to be talking about, disparity of force. And we don't just come up like that. It takes a few minutes. Now, I'm pretty creative and a songwriter and have written some books. And so I'm, you know, experienced in that process. But sometimes it's instant. I think of something just out of the blue and I go for it and research it and put it together. Other times I have to sit down and really think about what's happening in the time, what's been in the headlines, what information we really need to get out there quickly and go from there. So deciding the topics that we're going to talk about sometimes can be prolonged and other times it comes together pretty quick. I'd also like to know about how your office goes about getting all the news. I also read the news blog and listen to the show. The news that you give is pretty in-depth, and I wonder how do you find it? Where do you get it? We are pretty organized in the news department since almost the first few months of organization in 2002, and then when we changed over our name to Private Office International in 2004, we've almost always had a news department. We gathered the news. At first, it was just, you know, bits and pieces here and there, but over the years, we now have more than 3,000 news feeds that come directly into our office. We get a lot of press releases. We have individual members and non-members who send us news links of things happening in their neck of the woods, and we do a lot of research ourselves. We're constantly curating. We write a lot of our own news from information that we receive and verify, just like with the statistics. We, again, have been doing this almost from the day one of POI's organization, and it has gotten more and more defined, and we're getting much better at it. And since COVID, we really have fine-tuned a lot of methods of getting our news and information, but that's how we curate the news. A couple of weeks ago, we also had an inquiry about advertising. You can contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com for advertising questions or to advertise on the radio show. Our websites, our social media platforms, we have an all-inclusive, very robust advertising plan for our businesses. You can advertise your service, your product, your business nationwide or globally worldwide because we have readers and listeners in multiple countries. Now, as I said, helpdesk@privateofficer.com really is going to be your point of contact for just about everything. They may not be able to answer your question, but they're going to refer it to the appropriate person who will be able to get back with you with that information. Today, as I said, our topic is going to be disparity of force. And that particular topic has taken over a week to research the laws in various states. A lot of case law, which is that law that has been put on the books, it's been tried and true through previous criminal or civil trials where certain law was used to as a defense. Also, we spent a lot of time researching recent news about this disparity of force, and so today we're going to be talking about that. We kind of looked through quite a few force situations involving both private security, civilians, and law enforcement, and, you know, other cases where this topic came into play or was used as a defense in a criminal prosecution or a civil lawsuit. We are going to be reveling in just a couple of more days, really bringing in the new year, 2022. I hope that if you're working, that you are safe. And if you are off, that you, again, are still safe. Don't drink and drive. I mean it. Not even one social drink and get behind the wheel, because alcohol acts differently. Oh, no, I'm going to be fine. Well, I can tell you from firsthand family members who could drink and you would think that they had a hollow leg and still be fine on the road. And then I've seen other people, two beers, and they are drunk as a skunk. So please, if you have to drive, don't drink. If you have to drink, get Uber or a friend to drive you. Later on, we'll be revealing a lot more about our endeavors in 2022. And later in this show and next week's show, we're going to tell you some of those things and also how to be involved. Right now, we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio. Remember, Body Armor USA. We've got what it takes to protect you. Protective clothing, body armor, stab-resistant vest, protective gloves, and so much more. Check them out on the web today. Private officers sending you there. Let them know that. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you.
Can we be real for a minute? I'm a high school math teacher, and I'm a firefighter.
Man, we're going to have you out in just a minute, okay?
I'm a designer.
I'm a retired VP in business.
And I'm a student.
I'm a mother.
I'm a business analyst. And I'm a volunteer firefighter.
You thought we just fought fire?
Firefighters get trained to do so many things.
Right here. Get sharp.
What we do is serious business.
Three quarters of the nation's first responders are volunteers. That includes here in Connecticut. And lately, it's been harder than ever, with fewer citizens volunteering.
From teenage cadets like me,
to seasoned veterans like me.
So what are you waiting for?
You ready to make a difference?
Ready to join our team?
Your community needs you. We need you. Visit EverydayHeroDT.org or stop by your local firehouse today and take the first step of joining your fire department.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector right here on the Private Officer Radio Network. Now don't go away, because we are coming right back when we've got a whole lot more right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio. If you're not already receiving breaking news and our bi-weekly newsletter, Officer Don reports, and discount training news in your personal or business email, then go to our website right now at privateofficer.org. Privateofficer.org. A Dropbox will come down. Just fill out your info, and you'll be the first, one of the first, for sure, to know about what's happening in the security industry. You'll know when a security officer is killed. You'll also get these great discounts on training and equipment and so much more. Privateofficer.org. And if you're not already a member of the Private Officer International Association, sign up while you're there today. Become a lifetime member for just $99, and we'll also include a free Private Officer International patch and lapel pin.
More than 114,000 people are waiting on an organ transplant at any given time in the U.S., and at least 80% of those are waiting for a kidney.
For kidneys, it largely defaults to waiting time. But for livers, hearts, and lungs, it's
largely based on the degree of illness and how sick someone is, and that defines their priority on the waiting list.
Dr. Charles Rosen, director of the Transplant Center at Mayo Clinic, says living donors can help save people waiting for a kidney or a liver, but those waiting for other organs, unfortunately, have to wait for a deceased donor. Dr. Rosen says if you're interested in saving another person's life with your organs after you die, it's important to sign up as a donor now while you're still alive to save your family from having to make a difficult decision at a difficult time.
We've heard from donor families or potential donor families that decided not to donate because it was such a stressful time in their lives that then 3-6 months later they felt some remorse for not doing that.
For the Mayo Clinic News Network, I'm Ian Roth.
Welcome back to this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio as we start heading into the new year. Like I said, we have a lot happening in 2022. You're not going to want to miss out. You're going to want to be part of it. Stay tuned in this program for some of those ways that you can be totally involved. Last week, I had the honor of presenting a Purple Heart Medal to a federal agent, somebody who works for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and was part of the U.S. Marshal, is part of the U.S. Marshal's Gulf Coast Fugitive Task Force, where they go out and hunt down the worst of the worst. And during one of those incidents last year, while sweeping through a motel complex, gunfire erupted from one of the rooms where they thought the suspect was at. One of the federal agents was shot in the neck. A second one also injured. We had just so much gratitude for this federal agent and several others, and we just had to get down to Gulfport, Mississippi, and present him. Jorge L. Rodriguez goes by the name Rod. He was presented with a Purple Heart Medal. Now, his partner, who was shot in the neck, also will be presented a Purple Heart Medal. And we're going to get to tape another segment of Breaking Bread, a brand new online program where we sit down with frontline heroes and interview them over a meal. You know, as a firefighter, we sit down and break bread every time we're on shift, and we eat together. And this is a great opportunity for us to, in a relaxed atmosphere, sit down with some of the heroes across the country. We have a number of interviews already lined up for the new year. Can't wait to get these things rolling. And don't forget, our brand new Blue Ram Media site will be rolling out here in the next few weeks, our online streaming new programs, radio, magazine. We'll tell you more about that coming up. I also want to let you know about a couple of the more Purple Hearts that we're going to be giving out. We'll be presenting the Purple Heart to a security officer who was shot about 2 months ago at a mine in Birmingham, Alabama. His partner unfortunately succumbed to his injury, but we will posthumously present that award to the family. And the second security officer who survived will also be presented a Purple Heart. Recently, we became aware of another security officer that was shot during a robbery, and he returned fire. He was injured. He is on the mend, and we are reaching out to him as well to present the Purple Heart Medal. If you know of anybody who deserves that Purple Heart Medal or any other type of award, any other type of recognition, please, we ask you to nominate them. Go to our website at privateofficer.org. There's a page right there that you can fill out a form and nominate them, or you can send information to helpdesk@privateofficer.com to nominate an officer. We love to recognize people who are doing a good job. In fact, a TSA officer, only on the job for 2 months. Recently, just within the last few days, in Newark, New Jersey, swung into action, jumping over a railing to rescue and save a small child who has stopped breathing. We have just reached out to the regional DHS TSA supervisor to present them with an award, and once we get the go-ahead, we'll be flying up to Newark to do that. We'll have some of our POI members from the tri-state area, New Jersey, Connecticut, and New York with us, hopefully really surprise this young lady with a life-saving medal. They get a plaque. They get a uniform service bar. It's a really nice presentation. Of course, we'll have video of that and pictures. So be looking for that. Like I said, if you know somebody that deserves to be nominated, please send the information to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. January the 9th, 2022. What's so special about that day? Well, you may or may not know this, but January 9th, which is a Sunday next year, 2022, is Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. In honor of this day, all active and retired law enforcement are invited to all of the activities being held at the National Law Enforcement Museum. Now, that's in Washington, D.C. All active or retired officers with credentials will be admitted free to the museum for all of the festivities. You can reserve your ticket online right now at NLEOMF.org, the National Law Enforcement Officer Museum, NLEOMF.org. Reserve your ticket. I know there's going to be a lot of festivities, and even if you cannot make it, be sure that you recognize and honor your fellow law enforcement officers, your neighborhood cops. Let them know that you care. Let them know that the public stands behind them 100%. We have here at POI made it our mission to increase the number of law enforcement that we recognize, and we'll certainly be doing that with Blue Ram Media's online new platform, which I'll tell you more about coming up here in just a few moments. You are listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio, and if you're in the Charlotte metropolitan area or across the line in South Carolina, in Rock Hill or one of those areas, be sure to visit Premier Training Academy in Charlotte. They teach the North Carolina PPS Security Officer armed and unarmed training, the South Carolina SLED armed or unarmed training, firearms protection, first aid, CPR, and so much more. Premier Training Academy. Call them up today and tell John that POI sent you. We'll be right back.
Rolling one up now could mean rolling one over later. Driving high impairs your perception of speed, time, and distance. If you're high, don't drive.
Without this woman, my father couldn't have had his hip replaced.
Without these people, I'd be dead.
This man helped my son through leukemia.
Do something amazing. Give blood.
Thank you.
Welcome back to this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio, a production of Private Officer International and Blue Ram Media Group. Hey, I want to talk for a moment about a new product that I became aware of. This is not by any means an endorsement. I have not used the product. I don't know if it works in the manner that it advertises, but this is obviously going to be a game changer if the product operates the way that it's designed to. This is a body camera. It's called Wolfcom Commander body camera. First of all, it has a 15-hour battery life, well beyond the normal 8, 10, or even 12-hour shift that most people in security or public safety work. So this is a very strong, long-lasting battery. So I like that very much. But one of the things that drew my attention to this product was the fact that it has several features that I have not seen on any other body camera. One of those is it's actually a lifeline when things go south for you. It has an SOS button on the body camera. You can hit that SOS button just like you would on your push-to-talk to a radio, and it automatically sends a signal to a monitoring station, and your GPS comes up on their map. They automatically can call backup for you, police or another company member or another officer. And also, they have another very unique feature, and that is a push-to-talk two-way radio communication within the body camera. So once you hit that SOS button, it automatically opens up the push to talk so that you can describe to the monitoring dispatch center exactly what's going on. But here's another feature that I really love, and this is that you can also live stream your body camera. While that's great for commercialization or to show your client or your employer what's going on, this also opens up live streaming in the event that you are under attack, that there's a gunman there, that shots have been fired, that you're being beat down, robbed, whatever it might be. This is not only good documentation, but this is real play-by-play for the central dispatch office to be able to see this and relay it to police. So number one, it comes with 15 hours battery life guaranteed, much longer than most officer shifts would be. It comes with an SOS button. If you're in trouble, most of the time, even when you have a cell phone, you don't have that opportunity, that time, to call 911. Here, you just, like with a two-way radio, hit the SOS button. It also, number three, opens up a remote live push-to-talk system where you can talk directly to the dispatch. And, of course, they also have live remote streaming. Like I said, I have never seen a product like this. I have contacted them this past week, and I've asked for samples to have a trial. I have talked by email with the law enforcement division senior manager, and I hope to be able to have at least a couple of these to try for probably a month. We've tried a few others in years past, but this is much more technologically advanced and much more enhanced with protective add-ons for the officer, the live streaming, the push-to-talk to a command center, and the SOS button really are very appealing. According to their advertisement, more than a million has been sold worldwide. They're currently used by 1,500 law enforcement agencies, and they now distribute in 35 countries. The company's name is WolfComUSA.com, WolfComUSA.com. Again, I'm not endorsing, I'm not sponsoring them, but I do believe that from everything I have seen and heard and read, there are quite a few advantages to this particular model compared to some of the others. Also tonight, today, this beginning of a new week, we want to talk in just a few minutes about the disparity of force. And I think you're going to find this to be quite interesting. Now, just yesterday, Sunday, on from the legal side, we discussed the use of force and firearm carrying while off duty. Again, that goes hand in hand with the topic from today. If you have not listened to it, it would be beneficial for you to go back. We're always available on iHeartRadio, Amazon, Rhapsody, iTunes, and many others to play it back on demand. But we are a radio show live every week, and then we download the material to be played back on demand. So today, in just a few minutes, we will talk about that disparity of force, how it applies to you, and when you may have to use it. In a recent Police One poll, that's a law enforcement magazine, they questioned officers on five different areas, and more than 1,000 police officers responded. Now, I have recently had our office post on our social media platforms a similar poll, and we've had a few responses, and I'll give you those as well. But in this latest poll by Police One, they asked officers across the country, what was the biggest challenge for law enforcement in 2021? Now, you would think that it would be police defunding, low morale, so on and so forth. But to the surprise of many law enforcement leaders across the country, including myself when I read the answers, it wasn't that at all. The number one biggest challenge, according to police officers, not police chiefs or command staff, but the officers themselves. Number one was recruitment and retention. They saw this to be a huge problem because there was a lack of officers on any given shift. That backup was not always there as quickly as you needed. 37% said recruitment and retention. The second area that they found to be the most problematic was media coverage of press issues being negative and putting police down and criticizing them for doing their job even when they did it correctly. 25% said the biggest challenge in 2021 was media coverage, the way that they covered police issues. Number three was officer wellness and morale. 21% said that officer morale has been low, and you can obviously understand why. And also the wellness of the officers. When you are have low morale, when you're depressed, when you're under attack from within, without, and it seems like everything that you do is wrong, it is easy for you to have wellness and even suicidal issues. The next area that they thought was a problem in 2021 was vaccine mandates. Only 5% said that. 5% of 1,000 plus police officers said that vaccine mandates were a problem. The next item, they said police defunding. Only 5% said that that's really a big issue. It is an issue, but they can still do their job with the right support, with people having a higher morale and officers sticking together, the community sticking together, everything would work out. Use of force legislation and training updates, 4% of the people responded that that was the main issue. And crime spikes, 3% responded that that would be or was the main issue among 1,000 plus officers. It's really surprising that officers listed recruitment and retention as the number one top spot of concerns, while crime was at the bottom and COVID vaccines also close to the bottom. Not exactly what you would think. This really shows the flexibility in which law enforcement and first responders work and act. They're adaptable. The military's motto, of course, is to adapt and overcome. And that's how it is on the front line with our public safety officers, firefighters, EMTs, and paramedics. We overcome the issue and we move on. Yes, defunding, legislation, vaccines, crime spikes, all problems. But you can clearly see right here in this 1,000-plus officer survey, more than 1,000 police officers responded that they could overcome most of that, but they can't overcome recruitment, retention, some of the issues in training, some of the morale issues, and the wellness. They just couldn't overcome that as an officer. Need the police department, the politicians, the administrative staff, and the higher ups, really, to get involved in that. Now, we followed up, and we ran a survey not too long ago, maybe 2 years ago, and some of the responses from both members and non-members at the top was pay, benefits, and we quickly put out this survey just before Christmas on social media. And so far, though we've only had a minimal response because it is the holidays, the top concern continues to be pay, a lack of benefits, a lack of training, a lack of proper equipment, and low morale. And I think that is right on point, looking at both law enforcement and what private security responded just recently. I would say it's very, very similar. We need to take a quick break. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio. Remember, if you need us, help desk at privateofficer.com 24 hours a day. If you want to send a news alert, a news tip, help desk at privateofficer.com. We're coming right back here on the POI Radio.
I met Luke when I was pretty much born. We kind of just grew up together. He got his license when he was 16. We were going to the beach, and Luke was driving. I was in the passenger seat, and all of a sudden, I don't remember anything. I wasn't conscious for it. We got hit by a drunk driver. I feel like I knew right away that it was never going to be the same. I don't know. The doctors, they were telling me I was so lucky to be alive. When I found out that he died on impact, I didn't really feel lucky. And so sometimes I still don't. Drinking and driving is completely unnecessary, and I think it's selfish if you do it. It's just, it's not worth taking that risk, because you never know what's going to happen.
I was just going to the grocery store.
Seatbelt violators, beware.
I forgot to put it on.
If you're pulled over because you've broken the law.
Oh, it's so uncomfortable.
And you're not wearing your seatbelt.
It's broken, but I was going to have it fixed.
No matter what your excuse is, you will get a ticket in addition to the ticket for your original violation.
Click it or ticket? That's pretty easy to remember.
Remember, you can check out our breaking news blog every day, 24/7, updated daily, even on the holidays. It was updated on Christmas. And you can go and check out all of the breaking news at www.privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. Here's an interesting and concerning fact that was just released over the weekend. The U.S. population between 2019 and 2020 grew at the lowest rate in 120 years. Let me say that again. The U.S. population between 2019 and 2020 grew at the lowest rate in 120 years, just 0.35%, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. There's a lot of reasons, I guess, for that. I'm sure that COVID played into it. The not knowing about the economy, whether or not you're going to get a have a job tomorrow, you're going to get a paycheck. I'm sure all of that played into the reason behind these low numbers. While other countries, including China, continue to have their populations increase, this would be devastating for the U.S. in many different ways should we suddenly stop producing and suddenly lose citizens through age and illness, other avenues of death. This would be not good for our country. A couple of things that I noticed during the last few days in the news, a man was sentenced to less than 5 years in prison for the murder of a security officer. According to the court, Dwayne McMillan was killed on October the 2nd, 2018 by four people. Two was armed with handguns and two was armed with a rifle during a robbery at a marijuana dispensary. This happened in Toronto, Canada. According to authorities, McMillan was shot point blank in the chest. Johnny Carpenter, 19, was shortly apprehended and charged with murder. Another juvenile also arrested. He was under the age of 18. And he cannot be identified under the Youth Criminal Justice Act. Those two were caught. Two other shooters are today still on the loose. On Wednesday of last week, Carpenter, the suspect in the case, was sentenced to 10 years in prison for manslaughter. He had been charged with second-degree murder and arson for setting fire to the 2011 Ford Taurus that had been used in the robbery. The next day, he was arrested. But during a plea deal, the charges were reduced to manslaughter last month. Now, after being credited for 3 years spent in pretrial custody, another 602 days spent in full or partial lockdown. The suspect, Carpenter, has just 4 years and 5 months left to serve. He apologized to the family of the deceased security officer, but he continued to say that he was not the shooter and that he did not deserve such harsh punishment. He took a life. He killed a security officer. He could have faced about 50 years on the murder charge and arson. Those charges reduced to just manslaughter. He could have served 10 years, but because of in-custody time that he spent during the pretrial phase, he's now serving less than 5 years. Also this past week, coming out of Chicago, Illinois, three security officers in Chicago were robbed in two separate incidents, all of them involving ATMs. The security officers in one situation was disarmed during the robbery, and the robbers got away with $100,000 plus in the holdup. This robbery took place in the 3200 block of West Belmont Avenue around 11 p.m. Wednesday. The man disarmed the security officer and took the money that was being filled into the ATM. Another robbery of two security officers at another ATM. The suspect demanded money while putting a gun to the security officers' heads. FBI agents are involved in the search for these suspects. They all may be the same suspects, or they may be different. We don't know. Another interesting topic for this week's radio show. I've already given you quite a few helpful news topics, and we've discussed a number of things, but how about this one? Conversations now being made in several areas to give private security access to license plate readers, LPRs, where they will be able to access the owner's information of the vehicle and see if it's stolen or if the driver is wanted. I know of at least two shopping malls that currently do have access. They worked out a long time ago, a memorandum of understanding, MOU, and they have LPRs in their security cars. And if they're driving through the parking garage or through the parking lot, they take in all that information on the license plate, and if it's a stolen car, it notifies them that it is a stolen car, and they notify police. A number of apprehensions have been made that way. Another thing that is being talked about, at least in one area, is giving private security direct access to background checks, NCIC access, where they can check to see if a person is wanted, whether or not he has had any criminal record, and giving them access to a lot of information that security in general just would not have. Is this a good idea or is this a bad idea? We want to know what you think. Send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Before I go to our next break, I want to give you 10 ways where you as an individual can be involved in 2022 in making the security industry better and getting involved specifically with POI. Number one, of course, we want you to become a member. By becoming a member, you support an organization that's supporting the security industry and individual private security officers every day. So that's really number one, and it's a nominal fee. It's not very steep and not unreasonable. Number two, you can volunteer on one of five committees or on all committees. We have an awards committee, a training committee, a benevolent committee, a community outreach committee, and a security forward committee, which looks at the standards and safety of the security profession. You can also be a volunteer curator at a new virtual museum, literally spend just a few hours a month looking for material for the museum. You can be a sponsor of our training, our memorial services, our special events that are held from time to time across the country. You can spread the news. Notify your coworkers and others in the industry in your area about POI, about what we do, who we are, and the benefits of getting involved. You can also participate in the security officer training, the professional standards that we have, and so much more. You can be a photog for the new Blue Ram Media. Work in your area on our new online platform. You can be an area instructor for Armor College. You can teach both areas that you have specialized training in, as well as areas that we instruct you and give you credentials to be able to teach various disciplines and programs. You can start an Armor school in your neighborhood. It's not that expensive, and we will help you each step of the way. You can also be a local news hound. That's someone who sends us news about what's happening in your community when you see an officer, security or law enforcement, involved in a situation or injured or that deserves an award. We have numerous people that do that. We love them, and you too can be part. That's just 10 quick areas where you can become involved in making the security profession better. Contact helpdesk at privateofficer.com. We'll be right back.
You don't know what it's like until you're a parent. Letting go.
Because we used to protect her.
But now with the Smart Pepper Spray from Saber, we can feel a little better knowing that if something happens, she can protect herself. Not only is it the number one pepper spray brand, it also has smart features to connect us instantly when it matters most. The Smart Pepper Spray connects via Bluetooth to the free Saber Personal Safety app. With her selected contacts loaded into the app, we receive an alert if and when the pepper spray is deployed. Even better, the alert links to a map where we can geo-track her exact location to make sure she gets to safety. We also opted into the Saber Premium Monitoring Service to make sure that if needed, local police will be alerted and given the ability to track and help her. That's all built on top of Saber's maximum strength formula for maximum stopping power with a 10-foot range and 25 bursts per canister.
So if she's ever in a dangerous situation,
we'll know.
Is everything okay?
I'm fine. I just got scared, but I'm fine.
Oh, thank goodness.
Because when you're a dad,
when you're mom,
knowing that your daughter, your loved ones are safe,
that's
everything.
Disparity of force. Have you ever heard this topic, this subject? Have you ever seen it used in a criminal or civil defense case? Disparity of force or proportional force, whether that is lethal or less lethal, has everything to do with whether or not it was justifiable based on the situation. You see, many people believe or have the concept that firearms or lethal force cannot be used against a person who doesn't have a gun or a knife, but that simply is not true. And I have a couple of cases that were recently decided in several different court systems, and I want to look at them for a moment to kind of show you what the difference is between justifiable proportional force and the disparity of force, and also when you can and cannot use lethal or less lethal force even when under attack. So recently, a 54-year-old Chicago man was in the Jewel Osco grocery store. He had a valid Illinois concealed carry weapon, which is called an FOID. He also had his concealed firearm with him. Now, he and a 32-year-old man got into a physical altercation inside the store, and eventually it spilled outside to the parking area. An employee inside the store could see the men were fighting, then observed that the older man had pulled out his gun and fired multiple shots and hit the younger man in the head. But he also shot himself in the hand during this incident. A nearby armed security officer ran to the scene demanding that the older man drop his gun. He held him at bay until police arrived. Now, the 32-year-old man was transported to the hospital in critical condition, and the 54-year-old man, also with a gunshot to his hand, was also transported to the hospital. An employee of the grocery store told police that he didn't see a gun in the younger man's hand and didn't think he was armed. Police investigated, and they looked at whether or not the use of deadly force was reasonable. Eventually, the man, the 59-year-old man, was charged. However, he eventually was released from all charges. Roughly 80% of criminal assaults in the U.S. that happen every year are non-lethal in nature. But sometimes, as in this case, lethal force must be used. What happened in the trial was this. The jury decided that the 59-year-old was no match for the younger man who was the aggressor, and that the older man used his firearm out of no other options. There are times when age or physical health status or physical size could become a defense should someone be charged in a shooting or a homicide incident. The disparity of force is an element that's used many times to defend someone who's been either arrested on a charge or being sued. It comes into play when deadly force or a deadly weapon is used in self-defense, especially in the cases of unarmed attackers. You might think that if a person is unarmed, that it is up to the other person to fight them off and to use physical brute force and not to use a firearm. But in many court cases, juries don't see it that way. The idea that an attacker must be armed to pose a lethal threat is not true at all. An unarmed attacker can kill you if he hits you hard enough, if he strangles you, if he beats your head upon the ground. About 2 years ago in Chicago, Illinois, a female police officer was in the struggle with an unarmed man. He had her on the ground beating her head against the pavement where she was about to lose consciousness, and she shot and killed the man. She was not prosecuted because lethal force was the only way to stop the attack on the officer. There are many dynamics when we're talking about using lethal force against someone who is not armed. You might have somebody who is 30 years old, and the second person may also be 30 years old, but he may be an MMA competitor. He may be a wrestler, a boxer, professional boxer. The ability for him to kill the opponent would be much greater than if he had not those experiences and qualifications. An example is an average-sized male who becomes angry while he's drunk in the parking lot. A security officer who is also unarmed uses OC when he comes under attack, and that only causes the drunk to become much more violent. The security officer retreats, but the man continues to pound upon him even during the retreat. The security officer grabs a gun from his vehicle and uses lethal force. Was this disappropriate to the force that was coming against him? Was this reasonable force? The size, the aggressiveness, the violence, the propensity of that person to continue an attack even when the second person is retreating all come into play in deciding whether or not lethal force was justifiable. In Flint, Michigan, just this year, a security officer working at a nightclub tried to break up a fight within the club. A crowd began to push in on the security officer. One of the aggressors began to attack him, and he used lethal force. He shot and killed the aggressor, who was leading multiple people against the security officer. So it was a mob situation, and the security officer felt that his only option at that point was to use lethal force. He was arrested in Genesee County, Michigan, and charged with manslaughter. But those charges were dropped during a trial because, again, the judge looked at the case and said this security officer had no option. He tried to extricate himself from the situation, but the crowd was moving in on him while he tried to break up a fight and threaten his life. They could have tackled him. They could have taken his firearm and used it against himself, probably even killing the security officer. So those charges were dropped. Disparity of force. We could both be of the same size, of the same weight, but you might be stronger. You might have professional, technical, strength building, boxing, MMA, wrestling experience, training that would knock me to pieces, and I may have to use more lethal force to save myself. Also, a 69-year-old security officer has been found not guilty this year. In the early morning hours of June 19th, a security officer patrolling Westlake Apartments spotted a man who was ducking down behind several parked vehicles. As he approached the man, he was suddenly hit with a large rock. The armed security officer drew his firearm and told the man to show his hands. The man then walked toward the security officer and took a fighting stance. The security officer backed away from the man, who then began running toward the security officer. The security officer, fearing for his life, fired one round, striking the man in the chest, and he later died at the hospital. The security officer was indicted by a grand jury for manslaughter, but during the trial, the defense of disparity of force came into play. The attorney for the security officer argued that the man had first thrown a rock, a pretty large rock, which was, in fact, a weapon. He then took a fighting stance, giving more evidence that he was about to attack the security officer again. The security officer quickly backed away, trying to gain ground between him and the suspect, and yet the man continued to charge and left the security officer with no alternative but fire that fatal round. The security officer's attorney also argued, had the security officer not used this amount of force, it would be reasonable to believe under the circumstance that the man would have disarmed the security officer and possibly even killed him. The jury quickly found the security officer not guilty in less than 1 hour of deliberation. There are many times when the disparity of force is argued in criminal and civil cases. These different case laws, this information about defensive tactics, this information about the disparity of the force, the size of the offender, the size of the opponent, the security officer, the police officer, they all play into the game, into the defense, into the trial. The 10th Circuit Court of Appeals exonerated a Utah police officer in a shooting of an unarmed man. This just came out. Salt Lake City Police Department had received a 911 call reporting that a man had displayed a gun. Police arrived and found several men. Two men stopped when they were told to. The third man continued to walk. The officers, pulling their gun but not pointing him at the man, followed repeatedly, telling the man to stop. Dylan Taylor, that third man, refused, but eventually turned around with his hands down the front of his pants. The officers had put their fingers on the trigger of their guns, still giving commands to the man to take his hands out and to lay down on the ground. He refused. The officers, again, one final time, gave a command to take your hands out of the front of your pants and to get on the ground. Officers fired at the man when he began moving toward the officers, even telling them to kill him. When the man was less than 10 feet from one of the officers, he fired twice, killing this third party. Unfortunately, the officer was indicted. There was also a lawsuit. The 10th Circuit Court looked at all of the information, all of the circumstances, all of the evidence, and they decided that the officer has no choice but to use lethal force because his hands was in the front of his pants, the front of his waist, and that it was reasonable to believe the way that he was moving, that he could have a weapon. And if the officer had not used the lethal force at that time, he or his partner could have been subject to lethal force by the suspect. Also used in the defense was a scientific study on waistband firearm draw that was conducted by Dr. William Lewinsky, the director of Force Science Institute. If you're not familiar with FSI, please go to their website. I think you're going to find their information, their training, and their studies quite relevant to what we do. Now, during this study, the Force Science Institute used 25 college students. They provided a .22 caliber revolver that was positioned in the right side waistband. And upon their own volition, participants each drew the gun from their waistband and fired from their right hip. The average time for participants to draw and fire was 0.23 of 1 second. Less than 1 second, they were able to get that gun from within their waistband and fire the gun. The fastest time during the study was 0.09 hundredths of a second, slightly faster than 1/10 of a second. You can obviously see by this study that anyone with their hands in their waistband could fire the gun quicker than the average officer would be able to draw and fire at the suspect. The study also involved a slight variation in which participants were instructed to draw the gun from their waistbands and fully extend their shooting arm before discharging the weapon. The average time for discharge in the latter instance was 0.26 of a second, with the quickest time, once again, being at 0.09 hundredths of a second. How could you defend yourself with your weapon in your holster, even with your weapon in the hand, when someone who's got their hand already inside their waistband and holding on to a firearm? Disparity of force must be understood, and you must be prepared to present this in the case of your arrest or civil trial. Here at Private Officer International, we feed you information that most have no access to or knowledge of, and God forbid that something happens where you have to pull and fire your weapon. 517 security officers, at least over this year, have been shot, and we believe it's much higher. We're going to continue research. 82 security officers this year has been murdered. How can you possibly say, well, I don't got to worry about that. I don't need all this training. I don't need to know that kind of stuff because it doesn't have any bearing on what I do. I'll never need that information. I'll never have to know it. I that's ignorance. I hope you never need it. I hope those things never happen. I hope that you never have an offender who has a firearm. But I can tell you firsthand, especially today, there's a much more possibility that a person, a suspect, will be armed than not armed. We talked about the 21-foot rule when it comes to an edged weapon. And now we know that it's actually less than that. We know that people who are further away from you can get up on top of you with an edge weapon before you can draw, point, and shoot. Take these things into consideration. Do your own research. Find out what's out there. Track down case law and different topics. Be prepared. Educate yourself. Be ready. I believe that every security officer in the country should be mandated to take 40 hours of armed training every year and qualify in the range at least a minimum of once a year, twice would be better. and that every security officer should take self-defense tactics and be prepared to defend yourself. That's going to be all for this episode of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Thank you for being here. Of course, we want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. I hope that you really enjoyed Christmas this past week and that you have a happy new year, a great, healthy, and prosperous new year. And we'll see you back here on the other side. Until then, be safe, be blessed. We'll see you back on the radio.